30-odd years.
Oh, beautiful, yep.
And I'm a teacher, cultural educator.
All right, fantastic. And so, Jana, with Sue Lawson, got the passion or the vision to write a book, and you wrote the book Respect, and rave review. You enjoyed that journey. You thought, let's do another one, yep?
That's right. And there's two more coming out as well, so it's a little collection of...
Well, how deadly are you? And what's the two more that's coming out? So we're talking, which is all around about family and about the foundation of life, respect, yep. Now we're on the family. So could you tell us the next two books that are coming?
The next ones are Country.
Yep.
And Share.
Share, yeah. And look, that's strong with us as First Nation people, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
All those four titles.
Yes. Yes.
Good. So give us a bit of background on family. I'm feeling I know what it's all about, but give our listeners background on your new book coming out called Family.
Well, family, we've been in looking at what family means to each of us, and it's, you know, to our heart and our home, for our old people.
Mm.
For our songs and our stories that connects us all, and how we share and care for our mob and our country, and listening to our aunties, uncles, elders, and the ancestors as well.
That's so beautiful, which is so true for us mob, isn't it?
It is. And this is what I think is really interesting, learning how to be to each other and to country.
Mm. I'm loving it. Yeah, good foundation to write books on. So you feel as though like this is a tool, you could say, books in regarding helping our mob, look at where we are in the world today, and don't forget our beginnings. Don't forget the foundation of our lives, and that's what I'm picking up regarding your books and your titles. Yes.
Yes, definitely, and it's making sure that, you know, we stick to these very important messages that our elders have passed on to us from children.
Yes. And who are the books focus on what people, kids or adults alike? Or
Well, for kids, but adults could read it to them and they can also get something out of it.
Yes, beautiful.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, it's for all children and
yes.
all families. To sit down and, you know, for non-Indigenous families to connect to our culture.
Lovely. How do people get your books, Aunty Faye?
It's through Magabala Books.
Mm-hmm.
And they are in Broome in WA.
Okay, rightio, fantastic. Yep. Are we looking at putting them online?
They will be, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
21st
yeah.
century, yeah, that's right. Use the tools available. Talk to Sue Lawson. Let's make it happen.
That's right. And, you know, looking at respect and putting that into Vision Australia for vision impaired children.
Yeah, beautiful.
So they can, you know, get the beauty and the story out as well.
Look, by any means necessary, whatever tools we need or that we use to empower our people with the climate that we live in, when we're talking COVID-19, then we're talking black deaths and custody, and we're talking about unemployment and education, you know, for our mob, and any tools that we can put on the table to empower our mob is what I'm picking up with you, Auntie.
Yes, definitely. That's to, especially for the young ones, to make them proud of who they are.
Yes,
that's what these books are about, really.
Fantastic. And when you first started writing your book, like the Respect book, your first book that came out, what was the response from your family and friends? At the blue, you say, I'm writing a book, and which way? How'd that go down?
That went down really well. They were really chuffed. And when I got the books, I was able to share them with my niece and nephews and my son and grandchildren, so it's really important that they all shared in part of what I've done.
Yeah, beautiful. Anife Muir / author. There it is.
Thank you.
Geelong, tomorrow the world, yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Well, when you get to the top, don't forget me, you know. I interview you on Murray Radio, yeah.
Well, do, Trev.
Okay, look, this is fantastic. So looking forward to seeing the book, Family. It's coming out in July.
Which is now.
Thank you. It is July. Yeah, thank you. We just finished June. Yeah, the times are flying by. Half the year is gone in 2020.
Oh.
Well, how? COVID-19 put a little hiccup in there, didn't it?
Oh, yes. Certainly has. Slowed things down in that respect.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, it is out in this month, July. Yes, fantastic. And also get, I think we need to start out, while we're waiting for it to come out, grab Respect. Then look at the book Family, and then you've got the other two books coming out.
Yep.
Sorry, those titles of those two books?
Country and Share.
And Share, beautiful, fantastic. Yep. Looking forward to all three books. Actually got to catch up with the first one as well, Respect. Well, thank you very much for sharing, Anife. All the best to you and your deadly family. A big shout out to Sue Lawson. Teamwork makes the dream work, and the dream is alive with regard to your journey as author. So that is too deadly, my sister. And thank you for sharing, and you take care, Auntie.
I will, and you too.
All
enjoy
the best.
Enjoy the sun.
Yes, enjoy the sun. Yeah, you enjoy the coldness down there. You stay warm, Auntie.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye, Dal. A beautiful yarn with Anife Muir, her name is. Her first book, Respect. Look, you can find that online or Google it. Anife Muir, M-U-I-R. And she's got a second book coming out. It's called Family. That's coming out sometime this month, July. And also she's got a Family, and she's got Share, and she's got Country. That's coming as well. So fantastic, using books as a tool to educate our young ones, but also for First Nation people to find their grounding, find their connection, and look at life in the spiritual way as well, as what I was picking up there. Have your say, your mob, yarn up strong, add to the conversation on National Talk Black, yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, you know, at BBM Bumba Bip Midi, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And that daily number is 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn. Too deadly.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBM 98.7 FM.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know what, BBM, Bumma Bip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service, and you can have your sober calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Yes, we are living in a different world at the moment, and people are being flexible, businesses are being flexible, adapting to the space that we're living in at the moment. And NASDA, the fantastic First Nation Dance College in based in New South Wales. I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Head of Dance, Dion Hasty, who's on the line. Dion, my brother, very good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks. Good morning to you too, Trevor.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, my brother. Before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where are you from?
Jabulgan Murray from...
Represent, look out.
I grew up in Mareeba.
Fantastic, good. So big shout out to all the Jabulgan mob up this way. How long have you been in that position, Head of Dance with NASDA?
Just a little under a year.
All right, so tell us your story and how'd you got in that field, and I believe you were with NASDA and you went to Walkabout and came back, yep?
Yeah, I graduated in NASDA in 98, then I moved to Adelaide, so I was in Adelaide for about 21 years.
21 years. It's all the light and come back, hey?
Yeah, it was, you know, a big journey, so, came back to NASDA, you know, full circle.
Yes.
Journey, so it's pretty exciting to be here.
Fantastic. Well, like I said, we're living in a different world at the moment thanks to COVID-19, and everyone's been adaptable to the space that we're living in. And for the first time, NASDA Dance College, for 44-year history, auditions for next year's intake will be completely online. So, look, tell us about how this is going about and how you plan to do that for potential students to audition and be a part of NASDA.
Yeah, so we looked at, obviously we couldn't have everybody come down and audition on site. So we looked at, you know, into innovative new ways of delivering our auditions. Obviously, yes, they are going online. The auditions are live now, open now, sorry. People will have to send in an expression of interest and register if they want to be part of that. It'll go in a few stages. So the first stage is that we'll send out an audition package, which consists of pre-recorded sessions. You know, there'll be four different trainers that have recorded their dance class, which is probably really simplified. We've just recorded an exercise or a routine that they have to learn and then film themselves doing and then submit.
Okay. Are we talking male and females, and what ages are we talking?
Yeah, look, this is it's open to young people aged 16 to 26, male and female,
And any background, dance background they need to have?
Absolutely not, no. I myself didn't have any dance background at all when I auditioned for NASA, and I went on. And a lot of people have, didn't have any dance background and went on to, you know, build successful careers.
Yes.
It's not a requirement. If you have a love for dance and a passion for dance and are open to learning new skills learning more about your culture and have a keenness, you know, building your identity and strengthening your identity, I encourage you to apply.
Now, with NASA, when we're talking First Nation National Dance College as such, in regards to traditional dancing, but there's other fields as well that they learn in the college, is that right?
Yes. So there's a lot of different styles of dance that we teach here and deliver, and it's mainly based on what's current in the industry as well. And all of the traditional techniques like ballet and contemporary dance, they're our core subjects or dance styles that we actually teach. So ballet, contemporary dance, cultural, and release. So and they're broken down into particular, say for instance, tumbling. Is something that is trendy in the industry at the moment. You know, it's almost got that, you know, where the kids now, they can actually flip and throw their bodies and do amazing things. Yeah. So that's if that's out in the industry, we teach it here.
Lovely.
So we're pretty good with that. And everything that we offer. Yeah.
So I've been running for 44 odd years, and first time auditioning online, which, like I said, using technology because of COVID-19, there it is. Doors can open up for young men, as you mentioned there. So also travelling possibilities as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, DAs, we call them our developing artists.
Okay.
When they're finished, by the time they're finished with a diploma in dance, or hopefully now we're starting an advanced diploma next year, when they're finished with their qualifications, they're ready to go anywhere in the world.
Good. You know, too deadly. And then they can then audition for other dance companies, or even take you into film or theatre or what have you, eh?
Yes, absolutely. And it's opened up a lot of doors for other people to go into other sectors. For instance, you know, there's people who've gone into acting. You know, there's people who've gone into film. So it's about networking and being introduced to what's available, what the options are.
Doors can open up. Now, NASDA, are you affiliation or anything to do with Bengara?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I trained with a lot of the Bengara members.
Yes.
Not at the moment. They're all new now.
Well, exactly, yeah, that's right.
But, yeah, back in the day, I trained with a lot of Bengara members, yeah. We've remained close, and, I kind of went off and went and did my own thing over here in Adelaide.
Yes,
But when you come to NASA, I guess you get a sense of family, like, because you are away from your own family, so get close. and you build relationships. So you look after each other. And so, we remain close over the years and still are.
Well, back in the day, I was part of the NASDA family. I auditioned back after leaving school back in 1985. And mentioned a couple of names. Marilyn Miller, she's up here in Cairns. Gary Lang up there in Darwin. My beautiful sister, Lana Tim. And Pinau Gee. A whole heap of people. NASDA have opened up so many doors and given people life and professional career as such.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, all those names you just mentioned, like I know them all, you know, and I've met them and either worked in some capacity with them. So the dance sector is still relatively small, especially the Indigenous dance sector. So we're looking to grow that. And there's a lot of people that have come through NASDA over the years as well. So, you know, we want to kind of grow the sector, open it up, give opportunity to as many young people as possible.
Sure. And we look at contemporary, but there's a lot of engagement with traditional owners when you go on country and permission and to learn language as well as dance with the traditional owners of that particular area. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. At the moment, they're learning Yolngu dance from Ninikay.
Okay.
It's beautiful country out there in Arnhem Land, and so the traditional, the cultural tutors will come down and spend time at the start of the year for an on-site residency, and then later on in the year we will go up and spend some time with them on their country.
Beautiful.
Which didn't actually happen this year because couldn't travel anywhere.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, stay put.
Yeah. So we are going to do it again next year. So the young kids this year do have the opportunity to go up there and experience, you know, everything that they have to offer.
I'm picking up a term of respect when we're talking about dealing with the elders and communication and the permission to learn the language, do the dance, and then carry the dance back to studios or on stages around this country, if not the world. Yes.
Yeah, well, it's about understanding who owns it. You know, we teach cultural protocols
respect,
here.
Beautiful, yeah.
And respect is a huge one. So a lot of these young fellas, some of them don't, I talked before about building their identity, some of them don't know who their family are.
True,
Some of them reaching out, you know. And
so it's
and
a bridge builder, isn't
culture.
It?
Yeah, they're looking for that in their lives. Connection. So this is where this is really important for them. You know, this might get them started on their own journeys and looking into their own family history and heritage. So, it's important to understand that this, yes, they may be gifted or taught, some of these dances, but they're not theirs, you know. They're the Yolngu peoples, and we've got to respect that.
Exactly. Beautiful. So, once again, my brother, before I let you go, Dion Hasty, thank you very much, Head of Dance with NASDA. Online auditions are now open, so how do people go about it? Sorry?
Check out our website.
Yes.
Everything's up and online at the moment. So, check out our website, www.nasa.com.au. All the information is there, and all the contact details are there. So, if you have any questions, please give us a call.
So in the Delhi mob out there, want to shake your booty or want to learn dance or want to use it as a career, there's an opportunity there. Check out the webpage and go through the audition and then film your own self and put it through and hopefully doors will open.
Awesome.
Too deadly. Dion, thank you very much for the yarn, my brother. And good spirit up here with Japagai mob. So thank you very much, my brother. And you represent your mob too deadly down that way.
Thank you.
You take care. All the best.
You take care too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Adelie Young there. Dion Hasty's name is Head of Dance with NASDA and Japagai man. And look, fantastic. Sends a bit of love to all the mob up here in Coranda and Reba. Japagai mob, fantastic. And NASDA has opened up their auditions online. So you can go online, check that NASDA, NASDA.com.au, and look at the audition part of it and have a look at the dance and then learn the dance and film yourself and send it through. And doors can open up. Look, a fantastic. fantastic opportunity. Get to meet people, travel around, work with traditional owners across the country, and learning culture in more ways than one, using dancing as the tool. So fantastic. Have you say your mob yarn up strong here on National Talk Black. That deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy Trevor Murray from Macquarie, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Ready to have a yarn with you, mob. Too deadly.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation radio station here in Cairns. You know, at BBM Bama Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service, and you can have your saying yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Now, a statement made by Sister Pat Anderson, AO, a chairperson of Lewitcher Institute, racism is killing us. So the Black Lives Matter protests here in Australia and across the world are sending cries of anguish and anger about the unrelenting impact of racism on our lives. Reflecting on this, it was struck by an important comment from leading Aboriginal psychologist and academic professor Pat Dudgeon. There are very few Aboriginal people who wouldn't have suffered racism. And Pat said, going on to talk about the growing body of evidence showing that racism is detrimental to the mental health of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. Her words echo strongly in the word of the Lewitcher Institute, the National Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Health Research. Look, Sister Pat has spoken at the United Nations Working Group on Indigenous People, has been the CEO of Danila Dadilba Health Service in Darwin, chair of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, chair of Aboriginal Medical Services Alliance and Northern Territory, and was the chair of the CRC Aboriginal Health from 2003 to 2009. She has served as co-chair of the Prime Minister's Referendum Council, is the current chairperson of a Remote Aboriginal Health Corporation, and chairperson of the Lewitcher Institute. Ms. Anderson is the inaugural patron of WOSSCA, the Women's Safety Service of Central Australia. A very deadly resume there, my sister Pat. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you very much. Nice to talk to you again.
And great to be talking with you. First of all, my sister, who are your mob? Where are you from?
Actually, our country straddles Queensland and Northern Territory. We're Aliara.
Okay.
We have relatives in Camarweel and across, I think, to Cloncurry.
Yes.
So our country goes across that border right up to Doomadgee and down across to Mount Isa.
Yes.
And down to Jarraway and then into the Northern Territory.
And that's why our spirits are good, because we got connection there, my sister, being younger leader and one year man. And so we got connection there, my sister.
Yeah, I thought that before. I think our poison cousins are the Calthadons.
Yeah, well. There you go. That's right. Big shout out there, Mom. So here we are, a conversation, very important conversation. Racism, well, it's not, you're not born with it, eh? It's taught, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Kids learn it, unfortunately. And there's a whole lot of work that needs to be done by us all here on our country, in our place.
Yes.
And it's the racism against us is absolutely unrelenting.
Mm.
It doesn't matter where you look or where you turn. I mean, just recently, you know, we've had, apart from the protests, which was an outpouring of anguish and heartbreak.
Yes.
You know, we've had enough of this, you know. And it just keeps going on and on. It doesn't matter where you look. It was heart-wrenching, you know, to see what was happening to Adam Goods and
yes.
the documentary that they made about that. Months and months of abuse.
Exactly.
You know? And this country, it really is, from the research that the Lowitcher Institute has done, it really is the effect on our health, and it affects all aspects of many aspects of our health, cardiovascular, everything.
Mm.
And it really is. It's a public health issue, in fact. for the country.
And when you look at media, especially mainstream media, and you had non-Indigenous journalists over in America and talking about the Black Lives Matter protest and what have you, and they state in the fact that this is very sad what's happening in America, and we're lucky we live in Australia where this doesn't happen. Well, 437 lives, black deaths in custody with no conviction, there is a problem here.
Yeah, well, you know,
the mainstream
society, Australians that is, don't know much about us at all.
Mm.
And hence, and I was part of, as you know, the Uluru Statement from the Heart. And people spoke about this anguish and heartache and people unknowing our history. And that's why people actually called for truth-telling. A voice to Parliament so we can have some power and talk directly about our own issues and not via or through a white bureaucracy. And secondly, that there be treaties between us all, peace, you know, and also that part of that treaty making was truth-telling. So, you know, we could tell our truth and for the nation to actually hear it.
Exactly.
Once and for all. And it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be a hard conversation. But I think the country needs some bloodletting here. And let's get on with it and do it.
Well, exactly, you know, and if things don't change, things don't change. So we do have a problem. And when we look at the Black Lives Matter in America, we've got our own Black Lives Matter here, and we're not picking up the baton over there and, like, starting dramas here. Like I said, 437 black deaths in custody, no conviction. People are being killed virtually by police officers or in the cells as such, you know, in the curriculum. It's not good for our people, and there is a problem in this country that needs to be fixed.
Yes, despite the fantastic work that the Black Deaths in Custody did 30 years ago, mind you, 30 years ago.
Yes.
And they made a whole lot of recommendations, and also they talked about structural reform for the nation to change in terms of how they relate to us and what have you. So this is continuing this relationship with us and the relationship that we have with the police. And also, I mean, our young people, terrible things are still happening to us. Terrible things.
Exactly.
When is it going to stop? When is it going to change? How can we fix this? Or I don't know, fix isn't the word, because it's real deep, structural, foundational misunderstanding or this belief by a lot of non-Aboriginal people that somehow or other we're making it all up for goodness sake.
Which is not the case. And when you look at the world we're living in at the moment, Sister Pat, in regarding virus COVID-19, we look at this as Black Deaths in Custody as a pandemic, do we not?
We do. It is a pandemic. Yes, what I said earlier, you know, it's a serious public health issue for the nation.
Mm. And look, it stems all the way up. If you're not, if you look really deep into it, when you have an individual and the position that they hold, and if they're non-Indigenous and they've got a hatred or dislike towards a black person, that's in the blue uniform, as in a police officer, or to a medical person, or to the legal person who are in this sort of case. And if they got that way of thinking, their decision or the outcome is not good for black people, yes?
Yeah, look, there's all kinds of research that empirically states the effect of racism and what have you. And then just recently there was an ANU research that showed that three out of four Australians had an unconscious bias against us.
Mm.
So that's, you know, I thought, goodness me, and that's, I think that only just came out a couple of weeks ago, in fact.
Well, three out of four, what's that, 90%, close to?
Yeah. Well, you know, three out of four Australians had negative, what are they, the quote is, negative, implicit or unconscious bias against Indigenous Australians.
Mm, exactly.
So that's a bit sobering.
Yeah, exactly. That's right, you know. And so there it is. When you're looking at figures like that, it's frustrating and it hurts to the bone. And we do have a problem in this country.
Major. And it's just like it's like scam and it's not happening. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't understand how, you know, a percentage of the, you know, quite a lot of Australians don't really believe that, well, they won't accept, rather, that we are 65,000 years plus, you know, the oldest living culture, surviving culture in the whole world.
And so white Australians, if not government, should embrace that.
They don't want to know. I mean, it doesn't seem to have any impact. New arrivals to our country and certainly overseas, people don't have any problems at all with accepting that.
Yes.
Here at home, they do.
They some, do, exactly.
You know, some percentage of the population.
And look, they tend to look at us as a broken record and we need to move on and get over it and what have you, but it's right in front of us, isn't it?
I know, we hear that all the time, eh?
Mm.
You know, get over it.
Build a bridge. Exactly.
Yeah, build a bridge, I know.
So when you look at it, my sister, is like it will always be unless it changes, you know. And like, yeah, like there's good people and bad people in all
absolutely.
Colours and all races and what have you. But one bad apple and cart don't mean they're all bad. We've got some bad black people, yes, but we've got some deadly good people, black people as well. But likewise with the white people as well. So it's give and take and the merit of the individual and how they're operating, yes?
Yes, yes. So we need a revolution of good people.
Exactly. And look, the tools we have as black people, you know, like more power to you and hats off to you, my sister, a highly educated black woman, AO, you know. But our marches is a tool that we use. Here we are talking on black radio. That's another tool. Success breeds success, and we need more of that.
Yes. The only achievement, all the achievements, rather, and any advancements that we've made through all of our generations has been through our activism.
Yes.
We fought for everything. Government didn't give us nothing. We forced them to give it to us.
Exactly.
And we continue to do that over many, many, many generations. You know, that old man, William Cooper, in Victoria, it was he who talked about a voice to Parliament. You know, so it's not a new thing. The things that the referendum council found that, you know, mobs were telling us, the stuff that we've been saying since 1840.
Exactly.
We've been saying the same thing. And, you know, we can't get anybody to properly hear us.
Exactly. And old man William, if he didn't speak up, we would be, like is how they say, we'd be still sitting in the corner. If you black stay back, don't move, don't make a sound, and they would continue, as in the government and non-Indigenous Australia, will continue to roll forward in his so-called perfect will and keeping the black man in the corner not saying nothing.
Yeah. There has to be structural reform here, structural changes. We have to take charge of this, and I think I'm urging everybody to get informed about the Uluru Statement from the Heart, I think, which offers not only to it offers to the country, it's a gift to the Australian people, but it holds out a message of hope, and that's what we need now, some hope,
yes.
But action,
yes.
Action as well.
Well, exactly, and if you want to carve out racism, well, that's a piece of paper, a voice from black people, and to build that bridge, so to speak, to bring us together as one, take on board that information, that discussion, and use that piece of paper if you want to go through this so-called white term of law, society, and decisions being made in this country. We'll take on board our statements and our conversation from that piece of paper, yes?
We've been saying this, brother, since 1840 and before that. It's the same thing. And they just start, and people, you know, governments of the day, whatever their political persuasion, however they are organised, don't hear us. They just don't. We're like, we are invisible in our own country.
Well, exactly.
All this has got to stop.
Exactly.
That's enough now.
Exactly. And when you look at the government just rolling on and rolling on, continue doing what they're doing and thinking that there's no problem, you know, what's that phrase, the definition of insanity, doing something over and over again, expect a different result?
Yes.
It is what it is.
Yeah. There has to be a change. There has to be, we have to renegotiate the whole thing, the whole relationship between them and us. Otherwise, we're not. And it requires that kind of undertaking, like we're suggesting in this Uluru Statement from the Heart, for the country to have a national conversation about our proper place in this, our own country, requires a level of sophistication and maturity. I don't know whether we're up for it.
Well, when you look at any discussion, will you have two parties, you know, for and against at the table to come to some sort of compromise? It's not happening here.
No.
And that's at any field. That's whether you're talking on a football field, or if you're talking about a board of directors, or if you're talking about yarning to the constituents of an election, whatever. It's about coming to the table, communicating, coming to a compromise, a decision, or vote on it, equality, and move on. I mean, I always say life is simple, people complicate it.
Yeah, we got a bit of work to do, Trevor.
We do.
You know, but hopefully, despite what I just said, hopefully there'll be enough good Australians, black, white, and whatever, will be prepared to have this conversation and do some nation building here and make Australia a safe and loving country for us all.
For us all.
Not just
the views. True, beautiful. Nice words. Thank you very much to Sharon and Sister Pat Anderson. I owe all the best to you and your family and your team. Stay safe. And we'll be yarning soon, my sister, right?
Yes, you too. Thank you very much, Trevor. Always good talking to you.
All right, bye. You take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Sister Miss Pat Anderson, AO, and talking about racism is killing us. And so very true. And government needs to hear in regard to the Uluru Statement and in regard to a voice in Parliament. And racism is not... you're not born with it. It's taught. So it just stems right down to ugliness. So we need to stamp it out. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. You are yarning with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Trevor Tim, I'm taking you right through to 12 noon Queensland time here on National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It's I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Group Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So give us a call, have your say on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to talk to a local man here in Cairns now by the name of Victor New. Got Victor on the line and talk about different situations and regarding the Australian flag and the burning of it and regarding moving forward as one. Victor, very good morning. How are you?
Yes, good morning there, mate. And it's good to, Trev, I believe it is, yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, my friend. You,
the younger people.
Thank you. You as well, my friend. So you're talking about, first of all, the burning of the Australian flag. You're well against that, are you?
Yes, I am well against that. Look, my grandmother was taken from Croydon with her brother many, many years ago now, right? She was one of the Solan people.
So you're a First Nation man, are you?
I am the third generation of a lady that was taken, a full brother was taken.
Okay,
my
brother, yeah.
And then me.
Yep.
So that's my father was second, and I'm the third generation.
All right.
Now, burning of the Australian flag. Now, that is totally wrong, and it's going to get a lot of people offside of this mob. Mm. And even like I said the other week, it shouldn't be Black Lives Matters. It should be All Life Matters.
Yeah, well, I think we all mean All Lives Matter, but just because of the focus on black deaths and custody, and you know, it's like a just to raise the attention on the situation, that's all. But All Lives Matter, yes, we as black people agree.
40, 50 years, my brother, and a lot of people know that. Like, this has been going on since the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. It's all been going on. I've been in prisons there where fellas have died in there, you know? And Murray's all white fellas, it doesn't matter. Nobody should die in prison. But there is a lot of people out there who are racism, but they don't show it. You know, they'll agree with what's going on, but deep inside their minds and that, by their actions, they show whether they're true to all Australians. I don't care what colour they are. And it shouldn't make a difference. We are all people, aren't we not?
We are, yes.
Yes. So instead of finding the hard end of what's been tried and what's failed over the years, why don't they change? You got all this technology today. But I'm 68 years old. All this technology, push a button, talk to somebody overseas. Hey, Flash, now get in there and learn about your constitution. It is a brilliant book. It is a brilliant set of rules. But them fellas don't want to use it. They don't want to know. But I'll bet they haven't even had a look yet. Now, that's sad. When people can get out there and take it from what's been said over the years, all the built-up aggression, all the built-up anger, and all the built-up disappointment and that, and then they hear what somebody, one elder or two elders has been saying, and then they just jump straight on that bandwagon. Come on, you fellas, be intelligent, be smart. Do your research.
Work smarter, not harder, is what you're saying.
That's exactly it, my brother. And we can have a separate state for North Queensland. We can have, like with this COVID thing. Now, the best thing to do, I believe, about that, my brother, is have a medical certificate for anybody who comes in or goes out of Australia. You used to have a medical certificate proving you're fit and no diseases back in the day, but they changed that. They changed that, you know. So we don't want this to happen again in Cairns now. It used to have a lot of work here other than tourism.
Sure.
Now we are in, what, 70, 80, 90% tourism.
And you're saying all the eggs are in one basket here in far North Queensland, all in tourism.
Yeah, and they're spending another $16 million or something on tourism up here. What for? We need better industry. We need woodworking industry. We need house equipment industries. We need steel industries. And that. Stop sending it overseas to get produced and things. Do it here in Australia. We used to do it. Why don't we do it again?
So selling off to international businesses, especially China.
Yeah, well, I remember when we were selling our scrap iron, our pig iron to Japan there for a dollar a ton or $20 a ton or something, and they're sending them back as a half a hundredweight for a $20,000 car. Now, who's the smart fellas there?
Exactly.
Why can't we do that?
Yes.
Because all this mob here, and even our mayor here, they've been stand-ups and bullies all their lives, this mob here, and they just want to make people do what they want them to do. You know?
It's now, you're also looking at a different state, and you're talking about the burning of the flag, you're against that, but you're also talking about a new flag, well, for this country or for this state?
Same flag,
or?
Just a little addition in the centre.
Yep.
Same flag.
And what's the addition in the centre? What's the addition?
The Murray flag.
The Murray flag, okay. Yep.
A lot of people say, oh, I like that. That's it. That covers everything.
That's togetherness, isn't it? That's togetherness.
I'll tell you who's got a big size one, nearly as big as his bed. Uncle Cassidy at Uluru at number 1 Muller Road, where I stayed when I went to Uluru.
Oh, Natalie, okay. Big shout out.
And I learned some intelligent stuff over there. Right? Them people, when they talk, they say something. And you learn every time they say that, just speak, and not say anything.
Talking deep from the spirit, my brother.
Yeah, my brother. And when I laid on that rock, all my sorrow for my two brothers and my father all come out on me, and that's the only time I cried for the male brothers.
Yep.
And then my
beautiful
dad.
Yes.
Yeah, I just felt so at home, at peace.
And so you're talking about North Queensland being a state on its own, pulling away from Brisbane, capital city?
Yeah, we can talk to the people. All that. I say, well, how far down? Let's say Mackay for a start. Mackay Serena, right? There's a big long stretch between Mackay and Rocky, Serena and Rocky, right? So if we go around that from about there, we talk all them people out there, every farmer and everything, all they've got to do, they have to strike or go on March, not just sign a 4-5-line letter. It's called a letter of my will. Now, if anybody thinks I'm being stupid, ring up and ask Uncle Warren, which is, he calls me Uncle Noel, because my name is Victor Noel Frederick. Victor was my nana's brother who ended up getting sent to Phantom Island. So there's some history there, my brother, and I'm tired of people fighting about it. It only makes it worse. We've got to sit down and say, right, we can't have do that no more. We've got to stop and be what is proper for our children and ourselves and our elders.
Yep.
If we don't get together on this, all of Australian people, I'm not saying whether colour, what I don't care about the colour. As long as they're on the same attitude, you know, the same.
We are all Australians, is what you're saying.
Same faith. You know, because it's up to Australians, not Americans or Chinese or English or French or Russian, to tell us what we can do on our own country. Yeah. I don't want to see people shooting each other and killing each other like it's over in states and everywhere, you know. I want us to get along proper like we have been doing.
Mm. And what about the date? The date, so you shouldn't, the date of the Australian Day should be changed?
Well, I'm not sure.
Mm.
And that is the thing. It's only a day. It was what we call Invasion Day, or when Captain Cook claimed Australia, and that was on Possession Island, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Possession Island is where? Right up the tip. Is it not? Right up the tip of the Cape?
Yep.
Cape York? Yep, so he's already come all the way up the East Coast, and that's when he claimed it. But his Admiralty orders, I believe, and it's been proven in the past, told him not to put claim to a land that is inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
So we went wrong there. But we don't have to worry about that. That's history.
Yep.
If you want to go around pulling down all these statues and memorials of people who've done some good in the past, think about the good they did, and if it was good, you want to pull something down, go and pull them tobacco manufacturers and all them people who have been growing that stuff for years and years and years. I've even worked on tobacco, so has my mum.
Mm.
But now it is killing me, worse than any drug I've ever seen or tried on this country. I haven't tried the real heavy ones, but I've tried a couple.
Sure. No? So we need to be stronger within ourselves.
The experience that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all them children out there, the little juveniles, can they not think? Can you imagine if you didn't do that crime, having them departments in the government, which we hate so much and don't like, would have to downsize because there's no juveniles. The whole juvenile department will have to be shut down. All them people are going to lose their job.
Mm.
And you folks can't see that they're making money out of what they're doing,
sure.
out of what the children are doing. They sure. might think it's good and it's fun, but they know it's against the law. They know it's wrong.
And they're lost. Maybe they're lost as well, aren't they? Some of them young ones.
Yeah, for them young ones. Maybe if we started making the parents pay compensation.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, the sad thing is, I've always said, there's kids out there having kids. That's the other problem.
Yeah, children were children.
Mm.
I've got four nieces that are in the same. I've got two sisters that were children when they had their children.
Yeah, exactly.
All because of a personal thing, of an emotional.
They haven't sucked
thing.
The milk yet, and they're bringing human beings into the world.
Exactly. And then them young ones. I got nieces that have not got their children. Five, six children have been taken away. I lost five through my ex-missus being on GOE down in Sydney.
Yeah.
Five miscarriages. I have two sets of twins, and my living daughter's brother were lost because of speed.
Mm.
And that's been with me all my life, and that was one of the things that helped me get away from Sydney and get out of there and all that drug business. It might be flash when you're 20, 30, but hey, when you get older, you fellas, you will feel the pain, and you will feel, oh my God, what have I been doing all my life?
So, Vicky, you're saying that there's a better system we can use into becoming one and moving forward as Australians, black and white.
Yeah, we use our constitution properly. Get the people to be taught it in school so they can understand, and just take away them big words. Them big words are usually going to mean two little words anyway.
Well, First Nation people feel that we are cut out of the Constitution. We're flora and fauna. We weren't even mentioned as black people.
No. Not black people. As electors. It's only the electors that get to vote and that makes up the politicians' coverage, isn't it? How many electors voted for this person? How many electors voted for that? It's got nothing to do with black, white, or yellow, my brother. It's about whether you're on the electoral roll or not.
And okay.
Anybody who's on the electoral roll and they write a letter of my will, according to our constitution, the politicians they send that letter of my will to are required by law to reply to those letters.
And also can also push for a vote to change the wording as well.
Well, in the long run, but let's do the small steps first.
Sure.
We start small.
So you're saying, Victor, the Constitution is our foundation and is our basics.
Constitution is the way we can use it.
To advantage.
Between the English, what I've heard about from the English, from the American. The Americans got their Constitution, the Fifth Amendment. I don't have to say nothing. We can do all that once we get the people of Australia to read and understand our constitution.
Yep. All right.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right. Well, you may tweak some conversations out of this. That's good, Victor. Thank you very much for the call, my brother. And please do keep
in
touch.
One important thing I'd like to mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Health scheme.
Yes.
For medical insurance, right? $5 a week will cover you. with our group from the time you're injured to the time you're back at work. $5 a week, my brother.
So what's that? That's your payment?
Election electorals, yep. You'll find there's an average of 80,000 elected per electorate. Now, you got 80,000 multiplied by $5 a week. That's $400,000 a week, I believe. That's $1.6 million a month, I believe.
Yep.
That might go before. Now, might
so
go
what's that? That's, well, for, that's for our health.
$1,200,000 a year. Now, that don't go to state or federal coffers. That stays here and goes to the local base hospital.
Yeah.
For equipment and staff.
Sure, gotcha.
So simple, KISS method. You have a fully equipped, fully staffed hospital. Now, not every electorate has a base hospital, do they?
Yep.
So the three or four surrounding electorates can put their $19,200,000 in the base hospital where the electorate... So you don't have to travel for surgery. You don't have to travel for anything. It is all fully serviced, fully staffed, fully equipped hospital there.